And now it's time to listen to the least heard podcast on the web, brought to you by the least read website on the web. It's time for the Gurgler Live. Your host, Derek Otterman.
Hi and welcome to the Gurgler Live. This is Derek Otterman, your host for this week. Hope that everyone is doing well out there. This week, I'm joined by, well, he's royalty actually in Queensland, and I'm very honoured to have Captain Wishbridge.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here, Captain. That's for sure.
Yes. Now, I've just taken the AOM of Rolf Harris.
Right.
One spare.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to have a few more spare in the next few days too. You can have an ARIA award if you want. If you want his ARIA award.
ARIA Hall of Fame, no less, as well.
I'll just get the engraver out now and scratch out his name and put in Captain Wishbridge.
Explains a lot of things.
Oh, it doesn't wash, you know. And all the stories come out with Jimmy Savile, but yeah, that's another stuff, and you know, it's not really controversial. He's been found guilty, so we can talk about what the hell we want about it. But we're not here to talk, Rolf. We're here to talk, most things sport and a couple of things that aren't. What a week, Captain.
Oh, it was always fantastic. More World Cup, a little bit of rugby league, AFL, but off-field incidents that we'll get to later.
They don't need much introduction, but certainly we'll definitely cover it, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'll explore that later.
But we'll straight into the World Cup, and you know, we're sort of down into almost the final, the final 16.
Would you call it the business end?
Well, you know, after last week about talking about some cliches like crap gate and everything. Well, you know, what would it be without talking about the business end? And that's right. And you know, this morning the Germans, they got the job done, but it wasn't pretty. And you know, it was quite entertaining today. Just to digress, if I may. You know, watching the end of that game, and you know, the Algerians, they did get one back. I mean, right at the death there, and you know, if anything, it was maybe just a bit of complacency and or laziness.
Wasn't it pure soccer to have a nil or draw, and then as soon as you hit extra time, there's one goal, and then as soon as the game's basically all but over, then you get one more Germany goal and one more Algerian goal within seconds of
each other.
Right in
the death. I know.
Isn't that pure soccer?
Well, you
nothing,
know, what a wonderful game.
100 minutes.
But if Captain, I don't know if you were watching SBS later on in the day, but they've been playing the classic matches every day. And I don't know what the basis for them to choose the classic match, and I don't know if they had a preview on, but it was actually the... I think it was the 1970 semi-final between Alemannia, which is the old West Germany, and Inter Allegra, which was England. And geez, what a match! I mean, it was just a difference in the way that the styles they play.
Did you say semi-final?
Was it a semi-final?
I was going to say that'd be a rarity if it was a semi-final for England.
Well, this is the thing, 1970. So 1966 was the year they won, and they always go back to it, but. Just a very interesting thing with that exact game. It was sort of, you know, all the differences they were, but it was very similar with the, there were some similarities between the German and the Algerian game. And, you know, it's just, Germany just seemed to sort of, they get in front and, you know, they just think that the game is going to end and they totally switch off. And they were lucky to get away with that game in 1970. And I think, well, I don't know if much luck came involved, but I think they're not really playing... You know, 100%. But that's Germany. But
did they go with the modern bloke commentating, pretending that he was there for 40 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And there's nothing like a commentary when someone knows what's coming.
Oh yeah, and the commentator, I mean, you know, kept on referring to them as the champions, the English champions, and. I mean, that's a lot of years ago, but I mean, I don't need to tell you what the nationality of the commentator was. But that's that match, but certainly, you know, I mean, we're still seeing some fallout from the Suarez match, and
I love it. It's a fantastic excuse. I fell over and my teeth hit his shoulder.
Yeah,
that's tremendous.
Well, you know, you could have almost believed it if it was a one-off, but it wasn't, Captain. Was it?
As was written on the website, I think it's got lawyers all over the world reaching for new excuses to get clients off.
Yeah.
I was walking with a knife, and I fell into the stomach of the victim.
Well, you know, you could claim for scientific research too, but we'll get onto that one a bit later on for sure.
We're throwing out some sizzle.
Oh, aren't we, just? And well, the Dutch, you know, the Dutch again were lucky to get away with it yesterday.
God.
But how many times do we see it? I mean, we saw it, you know, Australia, Italy in 2006, and we've seen it again. You know, a team bows out because of the fantastic acting of the opposition. So.
Yeah, it's one thing. Soccer will never be mainstream in Australia until they rub it out.
Well, and we've had a couple of penalty shootouts as well, and you know, that brings up another thing. It brings up is the controversy about penalty shootouts, if that's a fair way to end the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what else is going to happen? I mean, some of these sides could play for 400 minutes and not score a goal.
Yeah, well, this is true.
But one thing it has brought out, though, and it's sort of the unsung heroes of the World Cup, you know, leading into it, it's all Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, all the strikers, but the goalkeepers have really taken taken some of the highlights.
Oh, for sure.
Mm. And as you know, we love our goalkeepers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's probably not a coincidence that the teams that have gone further have had excellent goalkeepers in form. Whereas Spain, England, and Australia, all their keepers had, you know, ordinary or patchy form and all went in the first round. So it might be worth noting that it's not always the strikers that win games and get you through the next round.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, I can only think of maybe in history about maybe four or five goalkeepers that people would call superstars and people would be, you know, what people would put, carry them in very high regard, and you know, it's always the strikers that always get the money and everything like that. But I mean, you know,
would one of those goalkeepers be Rene Higuita?
was he the one that did the scorpion kick?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, of course.
It's on our website. Help yourself. Unreal. A scorpion kick, no less. the sheer arrogance.
It definitely was, because, you know, there's a multitude of things that could go wrong. And
he could have knit a jumper whilst waiting for it, but no, he puts it on to the fans, and that's a real man. He's the Jimenez of soccer.
Well, I was about to say he's a bit like that. Trying to think of the Western Australian wicketkeeper, and he developed that shot called the reverse straight drive.
Ryan Campbell.
Ryan Campbell, that's exactly right. Yeah. So
he invented that 10 years before 2020 cricket tour.
Exactly right.
Took off, you know?
Exactly right.
He was a man ahead of his time.
Oh, he had the long locks back then as well, you know. And, okay, well, you know, the keeper certainly had his locks as well, so maybe it's got something to do with the Samson-type hair, I don't know. But
yeah, so what about Peter Shilton's curly mullet too?
Oh, wow, you know.
Oh, David Seaman's ponytail.
Oh, what a wonderful...
I think we're getting there.
Oh, you know, it's somewhat timeless, really. I mean,
talking about long hair, The Bogan Pride is the worst TV show I've ever seen.
Yes. Yep.
Digressing.
I'd agree. Even after some deliberation, I've got, you know, some classics going through my head, like Ridgey Didge and other really crap shows, but no.
Oh, I haven't thought of Ridgey Didge in 15 years.
Well, there you go. No, now I'll give you a bit of a hint for the crap fantail later on. Get your headspace in that era. That's all I'm saying.
So much sizzle today. So much cut through as well.
Well, what else has been happening this week anyway there, Captain?
Well, we've, as we alluded to earlier, we have a new term that the, us uncool people who haven't hung out in nightclubs for 5 years or whatever it is, it's called bubbling.
Bubbling. Well, Captain, if I may interrupt there and just say, well, my experience actually isn't all that new. Or I'll just put the disclaimer there straight away that I've never and will never attempt such thing. But in certain circles that I've travelled, it's been known as gargoyling. Now, there's all different types of I'm not sure about the bubbling and you know, having seen the uncensored photo, I mean, obviously there is only sort of one aim to it, but there's different ways you do it, and one that sort of strikes out to me is the Terminator gargoyle. Now, the Terminator gargoyle, because you rise up, you know, you rise up, so what, you've got to start crouched, and then as you've got to stand up and be doing it the whole way. And the catchphrase for the gargoylers out there, the catchphrase is, when in doubt, Terminator gargoyle. So that's just my little history. So I'm not a stranger to it.
I'm sure glad you did. I am picturing the Terminator.
You know the scene. Yep, the Terminator scene when he's nude and he's sort of, yep.
Just whipping out the destroyer.
Well, you won't watch the movie again. But we're not talking about Terminator here. We're talking about a dickhead of another kind, and that's Todd Carney.
Just a serial pest. He's probably been hard done by being sacked. I mean, I'll give him one thing. Sometimes he only hurts himself. I mean, we're talking about a man who got banned from his own hometown.
Yeah.
Goulburn, no less.
Yeah. And that's why I tend to agree with the sacking, in that, you know, how many chances do you give a guy? And it doesn't matter how good he is. And you know, you've had a lot of good people at good clubs trying to give him a go, and he's just, basically pissed on their faces, hasn't he?
One thing I did enjoy out of it is that a man that tries to drink his own piss only has one option left to be a professional sportsman, and that's playing rugby in France.
I tell you, of all the tweets and that sort of thing, my favourite was certainly from comedian Peter Hellyer's, and his tweet was short and sweet. It just goes, "Nobody tells Todd Carney it's last drinks."
It'd be funny that semi-sonic song "Closing Time" playing if he's doing that. You know,
yep.
Last trick, so he races into the toilet to grab himself. Oh.
Well, you know, there's so much gold there.
The disturbing thing is that it has a term, which means it's done by more than one person.
Yeah, well, this is true, and you know, that just like previous sort of things like planking and things like that.
I'm still laughing at that
Terminator gargoyle. Yeah. I've lost my track and thought now, but not at all. Like planking and the ones that have gone before it, it's this sort of fad thing that now that's sort of one person, like semi famous person, has made it, you know, popular. I think there was a Facebook site put up pretty soon after, like an homage type site, and you had a whole bunch of people doing it. So it's one of those things that, you know, was started in some circles and was almost somewhat secret, but
I believe it when I see Stephen. I believe when I see Stephen Fry doing it.
Well, this is what I love. This is you know, it's. I mean, and that's why after it happened, you know, I was privy to getting the image pretty soon, like on Saturday. And none of the networks would show it, would even show like a blurred out picture, because they were sort of saying how disgusting and lewd it was. And, you know, finally, you know, that lawyers gave it the okay and they've censored it and blah, blah, blah. But it's certainly not one of those things you're going to see celebrities kind of do, you know. With the planking, you had, every man and his dog sort of posted a photo of them planking somewhere at some point, but I don't think you're quite going to get that. Maybe there might be some sort of camera trickery, fake sort of gargoyling. I'm not sure, but
has anyone ruled out the possibility he was doing his own drug testing?
Well, good point. Or he sort of wanted to make sure that, you know, the drugs weren't wasted. You know,
Double ingestion, love it.
Yeah. All right, but we'll crack on with another one of our favourite segments, and that is the pointless poser.
I've come up with, I think it's seven, but there's always plenty more. So this week we're going with your favourite sporting, well, it was originally sporting off-field disgrace, but there were so many from the NRL.
You just have to narrow it down.
I mean, we wanted to include the Stephen Johnson from Geelong being drunk and waking up drinking sunscreen on a stranger's front patio.
Oh, dear me. Well, you know, just the football codes, you could pick either one and just do a whole show on the off-sporting disgraces.
We can always come back and do AFL. NRL's deserved its time in the
top. Oh, tennis would have some good ones too, wouldn't they?
Oh, tennis.
Yeah. But this is sort of as you go into your list.
Crowd. A tennis crowd laugh at a bloody bird landing on the court. Tennis people are odd.
Yeah, they are. They're very odd. And so just two words: Dimir Dokic.
Yeah. That's another pointless poser down. Best sporting dads. But anyway, we're writing them down.
Yep.
So we've got a few suggestions for the pointless poser. Of course, Todd Carney Bubbling is going to be a new immediate favourite for all.
Yeah.
But we can't forget the original classic, and that's the indexing from John Hopewyatt.
Oh, yes. But yeah, but I mean that was on field as well as off field.
Yeah. I did say off-field, didn't I? Technical.
Well,
so we thought maybe include Nate Miles' hotel emergency lighting.
Oh yeah.
To advise people of where the exit lighting was, he took a dump in the hall opposite to the exit, so people would avoid and go towards the exit. Along those same lines, Julian O'Neill also had
Julian O'Neill. There we go.
Fresh, the shoe freshener at a Dubbo motel for South.
Oh, dear me.
Julian O'Neill pops up again with his casino Rivers of Gold.
Rivers of Gold. Yeah.
Craig Gower's flash dance. I thought we'd round it off. I mean, please suggest more. But Joel Monaghan's paddle pop beagle.
Oh, wow. Mm. What, there is some sheer gold there. And I know. Yeah. I just know our email feedback is just going to get flooded with a whole lot more. And can I make a special mention, though, of just one AFL one?
Yeah, please.
And it can only be one person. Kappa.
It's got to be. Oh, Kappa. I was thinking Fev.
No, well, you're too easy again. You know, let's think. When you talk off-field disgraces, and yeah, certainly sort of there are some downright actual disgraces, but some that are laughable, you could probably put in the disgrace pile. I'm talking about Kappa and his wife at the time, Joanne, doing a double spread in Penthouse, the pair of them. No one wanted to see any of that. No one wanted to see any of that.
It was very funny in that Tony Martin TV show, The Joy of Sets.
Yeah, look, he still pops up now and then, you know, and people do just love to see him and see how he carries on. But he's pretty much harmless, you know, when you compare him to your Fevs and your Carnies and things like that. You know, he hasn't been in any brawls and he hasn't pissed on anyone or anything like that, but he's just a larrikin that's probably got a few screws loose. But you know, what a great pointless poser. And I know once we put that to the listener, they'll certainly sort of come back with a lot more. And, you know, we've just got so much gold this week. And from last week, we led into something special, which we'll play after the break.
Here is a song all about our seamstress. And her name is Sarah Perry. Seamstress extraordinaire, stop bowling down to there. She's got the biggest range of underwear.
Oh, wow. So, what's that, week three?
Yeah, it's week three.
So there's three of them to choose from. And you know, we're probably, if you had your mind made up before, that might just change your mind. And you know, we've got, what, one more week to go?
Yeah, isn't it good to see red faces back as well?
Oh, you know, so many good memories, so many crap memories too. But it certainly gave Red Simons a job for, 20 years, so...
Yeah, good to see he ended up on ABC AM radio in Melbourne too.
Yes, that's right, he is there. He does, and he actually walks the halls of the ABC, and he pops up on all sorts of ABC shows. Even on Radio Australia, I've heard old Red, so there you go, spreading his love. But this week's crapathetical, Captain.
Yeah, this week, based on the Japanese whaling, as we came up with a whale burger for our last week's crapathetical, we thought this week, well, what could you do to get away with it and then try and find a reason to blame it on scientific research?
Oh, you know, yeah. I know, I've just got a couple buzzing around in my head.
Yeah, but you can deliver if you want.
Oh, well, they're not really sort of, too blasé, but I was just thinking, say if you're around the house, just chores around the house is sort of the theme I was going with, and say if you're, cooking the family a nice meal and you might forget about something in the fry pan and it starts burning, and next thing you know, you've got a burnt dinner, huh, no worries, I was doing it for scientific research. And of course, the classic, let that lawn grow a few extra weeks. Yep, no, growing it for scientific research.
Yeah, that's it.
They're pretty blame, though.
I know someone threw a bed sheet over their lawn to stop it growing so they didn't have to mow it.
Scientific research. See, that's what that was.
Yeah, exactly. Scientific research. How a bed sheet affects mowing.
Oh, and so
I went down the more criminal path, so right. I wish I'd gone down your path. It would have been funnier.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, no. There's no gold coming. This was a better idea left last week.
What have you got, Captain?
Well, I've got arson. So your defence could be that you were testing the effects of oxygen and heat.
Oh, dear me.
Shoplifting?
Yes.
You could say I was researching brand awareness on the customer.
Good point.
Yeah, red light running, like when you drive through a red light, are you doing statistical testing?
I think I can hear Suarez's lawyer copying down some of these.
and underage drinking, which you can always blame on juvenile biology.
Yeah, well, yeah, psychological testing as well. Yeah. Would it hold up? I reckon it might,
It's as good as scientific research for slaughtering whales.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So that's this week's crapathetical.
Hold.
Oh, jeez, I can hear that can laugh already.
The Big Bang Theory's not on.
Well, look, it's not called crapathetical. It's not called wonderthetical.
Or good aestheticals, or funny aestheticals, or worthwhile aestheticals.
Oh, look, we'll be back. It'll be back next week, with a new theme and a new content. This theme keeps on popping up again, and we've reached the NRL news. And so just take a guess what it's going to involve. But first, here's the sponsor. Fucking what? The fucking phone's ringing. Hello, this is Gurgle Live.
Hi, this is Michael Sampson. How are you going, guys?
Yeah, well, Michael, how's yourself?
Yeah, look, not too bad, thank you, mate. I'm just phoning in from Victoria.
Right.
Loving the show, loving everything. Probably going to book myself in for one of those Police Academy holidays. It sounds wonderful.
Awesome, it's what
family holiday. I am indeed single, but I think I can probably enjoy it on behalf of myself and get through, even though I am ultimately alone in life. But
go on, sorry, Michael.
You guys never discriminate, which is great. So I heard you guys, you've been talking about the NRL and off-field, the NRL and the AFL, and the numerous off-field controversies. I'd like to throw into the mix in a similar vein is, what about, rugby union, in particular?
Right.
Quade Cooper.
What the fuck is that?
Well,
where these fucking come from?
Hello, I am Pedro Chavez. I have received many great feedback from my recent ads, most of them wanting more Chavez. Hey, Pedro Chavez always gives the fans what they want, but except for pre-qualifying for any of my GPs. Anyway, we are now proud to announce that Pedro Chavez Motors is now open from 5 a.m. until 9 p.m. every single day. I'm used to pre-qualifying, so I'm used to the early starts. It's no problem. So come on down to Pedro Chavez Motors this Saturday for our early bird celebration. We're putting on a free champagne breakfast featuring breakfast paella and Todd Carne Brut Cuvée sparkling. Come on down to Pedro Chavez Motors.
Well, yes, that's right. It's the NRL news. And, Captain, what's been happening?
Well, normally we give you a PNG update.
Oh, yes. Do we still get one? No. They keep losing. Okay, so we've got to... we'll ban them.
This week, we won't talk about them and see if they start winning again. Because they were on TV last week and they were well beaten, despite a stirring comeback. So this week, we're not talking about them. And, in fact, we're not going to talk about NRL until they work out that having State of Origin standalone so we don't have rubbish five-game weeks in the NRL. I've almost forgotten about it with the World Cup on, so no NRL news at all. They can get stuffed until they sort out State of Origin and until Papua New Guinea Hunters win.
Well,
giving you nothing.
Well, you know, I'm quite glad that you're staying away from the biggest topic in probably NRL this week, and but I've got a sneaking suspicion it's going to pop up again in the AFL news.
Sweet.
Running out of alcohol for the weekend ahead? Why not come out and check out the specials at the NRL Super Saving Liquor Barn? And check out this week's super specials! We have a Todd Carney Special Reserve Brut Cuvée with extra bubbles. You can get three for $20. Want red wine? We have the Julian O'Neill 32 Red Shiraz. Just $10 each. Can you believe that value? We also have the famous Dugan Ferguson Clean Skin UDLs. Best drunk on rooftops, 6 for 15. And we go back in time for pre-GFC Bundy Rum. Only $25. Need a snack? We have a 500 gram bag of Hopewade cheese fingers. Just $2. So, what are you doing this weekend? I bet you want to come down to the NRL Super Saving Liquor Barn, where the only trouble you'll get into is the choice you have to make.
And here we are back with the AFL news, and it was the weekend of, well, in the West they call it the Derby, down in South Australia they call it the Showdown. I guess in Sydney they call it David versus Goliath because you've got GWS versus the Swans, which, you know, if you remember back to round one, it was actually the GWS Giants beating Sydney Swans and just...
what a surprise.
Well, and you know, Sydney Swans haven't lost a game since. And what was funny, what's been funny is that so many commentators in the first few weeks after that one loss were saying, oh, you know, Sydney, they're not going to make the top eight this year, blah, 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 just from one loss. And here we are, you know, almost halfway through the season and they haven't lost another game. So I think the last time, because they are, their original club was the South Melbourne Swans, and I believe the last time they had such a winning streak was like 1937 or something. So some ridiculous.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, the Swans, you know, I mean, the people have been dare to back against them. And believe it or not, they've played basically all the tough teams. And so they've got a pretty easy run in the second half of the season. So
they're going to play the Lions, did they?
Well, actually, look, that goes down as probably my highlight of the week, actually. you know, it was, you know, in pretty sad circumstances. I mean, having been around Brisbane the time of the three-peat, you know, to see Brownie sort of have to sort of be kind of forced in retirement.
Yeah. Well, you say during the bandwagon era.
Well, I was going to say that because, you know, who'd they play for, you know, three of those grand finals. Anyway, I mean, they've played four grand finals and they won three of them, but was Collingwood. And I can tell you in the AFL world, you know, everybody, if you don't love Holly Collingwood, you absolutely hate them. I just want to say sort of about Brownie, you know, what an awesome career he did have. But he, you know, was forced to retire because, you know, the doctor said if he had one more piece of metal in his head, he'd look like Gort from, you know.
yeah, I got you.
But of course, not the crappy Keanu Reeves version, you know, the actual proper version.
He's a brave man.
Yeah, so it was. And, you know, what made 2 hours of news today was, you know, he always did that one finger salute type thing after he kicked a goal, sort of probably a much more graceful way than, you know, Crapamanis's handstand after a half a goal.
Crapamanis.
So, you know, good on you, Brownie. He's a gun for hire nowadays. So if you've got a spare $3,500, he'll come and play a game for your club. So.
Okay.
He does the rounds in Melbourne for that, and in the country leagues in Victoria for that. But, yeah, look, you know, Port still on top and blah, blah, blah. But,
are they?
Yeah.
I'm glad we catch up once a week because I actually don't know who's on top.
You might not be educated on who the number one ticket holder is. It's Koshy.
Bullfed. Yeah. Amblin's chasing Mutant from TV.
Yep, that's him. So, So there you go. So they're on the up and up.
Are Todd and Brent still alive?
look, they are. And I think they had the smarts to sort of, you know, get as far away from the limelight as they could after that sort of...
After they cashed the checks.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I wouldn't want to have gone through what they went through, but, you know, they definitely chose the wrong person. But who would you choose? Bloody Carl Bogunovic or...
Yeah. I reckon Nate Miles might have gone okay down there, considering he had to shit into a helmet. Prior experience.
Well, you know, he's the SME, as we call it, the subject matter expert. Yeah. And look, we've got another race this weekend, Captain. Another Formula 1 race.
Yeah, they come up every second week, and when the way the weeks fly, you sort of have to do another one.
Yeah, off the Silverstone. So.
Yeah, one of the famous ones, Brit. It's always... they've, you know, changed it again. They keep changing the track to make it more exciting, and yeah, sometimes it works. But yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be a Mercedes benefit.
Is there anyone else worth putting their money on apart from Lewis Hamilton?
No, not really.
No.
Depends. I mean, Ricciardo might. I mean, Vettel might. Just depends. The Red Bulls were awful last race.
Yeah, they were.
And they were. And. They had the next best thing was Williams and Fernando Alonso. I don't know.
It does amuse me somewhat. You know, each year the FIA come out with these new rules and things like that to try and put you know, the cars and the teams on a level playing field. But you know, they don't realise they've got the world's best engineers on these teams that they'll just come up with, you know, something better and faster, and they'll find a way pretty much around the rules. And you know, yeah. Again, you know, what? Instead of seeing, you know, teams on a level playing field, we've got, you know, one team that's, just, you know, just almost heads above the rest, and everyone else.
Well, I see them trying to introduce a new. What I have is that safety cars. After a safety car, they will stop the grid and restart and do the whole procedure over again.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I mean, people. Cock up the restart enough for it to still be exciting. Seriously, they're going to get all the people back out in the grids. They're going to have a safety car, slow the cars down, and then stop, and then start again.
It's relate to almost anything in life. You know, it takes a lot more energy to stop and start than it does just to keep things rolling. You know, and that's. That's ridiculous, if you ask me.
So it's only going to take the first person to stall up towards the front of the grid, someone to play into them and nearly kill them, and for them to pull their heads in. So
and it won't take long, you know. Yep.
Do you watch House Rules?
No.
Okay, I only see the ads, but it's good to see that Brian Mannix has got a new gig outside of outside of Sydney.
I do know who you're talking about, actually. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, you know, instead of the Toowoomba Hotel or, you know, something at Mandurah, he's building houses, and that's nice.
that's funny. There's a really good likeness there, isn't there?
Yeah, because Spicks and Specks is finished. Well, the proper one. We talk about the...
like you said, Captain, it is finished.
It's like Tim Burton ripping off every movie. Call it something else.
Yeah.
Don't try and recreate it. Especially you, Burton. Looking at you, stop trying to recreate everything.
And the sad thing about that in particular is that they still get quality guests on there, but it's just ruined by their regular cast members that, you know, that obviously had a winning team, you know, to start with, and these people are just, you know, just
it's good. It's the footy show.
We believe it or not, in West Australia we do get the rugby league footy show, but I can tell you the amount of hours that I've watched it.
Slaps is a good introduction to that.
What
it
is?
Really confirmed Slaps was a good introduction to the NRL football show. It meant that I'll never watch it again. Instead of may watch it again.
And
Manly fan, of course.
You know, all you have to do, Captain, is mention the name Slats around me and that sort of...
Yeah. You're the original hater. You hated Slats before it was famous. I remember watching a Fox Sports test in the very early of last decade. And I've never heard so much hatred towards another human.
What else do we have to look forward to, Captain, this week? Sorry to interrupt.
I've got here the FFA Cup.
Yeah.
Which is the Australians bastardised version of the FA Cup that isn't quite as interesting, and I guess we'll see.
With less to no talent, and
I was disappointed that North Pine or Pine Rivers didn't make the last four for Queensland.
Yeah, you know, right up there. Did North Star?
North Star. Pine Hill with their fluorescent yellow.
Oh, what about the Grange?
Or Marconi Stallions.
Oh, what about the Queensland Lions? Oh, my God. Jeez, Marconi. There are so many, and look, you know, I
associate old NSL with Marconi and Francis Awaratifi.
Ah, oh, what a wonderful connection.
That's the only thing I remember. I remember that light blue with Francis Awaratifi scoring goals. That's it.
I remember that. I mean, it's the time I remember Ned Delich, really. Not because of his national appearances, but his NSL appearances. Do you remember the NSL cards you could get there, Captain?
No.
Yep. So, you know, back in the days in Australia and especially in the eastern states when you could get rugby league cards and things.
Stimmerol?
Was it Stimmerol?
Was that chewing gum? Stimmerol. I don't know. I think so.
But I remember in sort of, you know, the mid-90s when sort of we'd outgrown it, that they started then selling them without the gum, and, you know, no wonder it failed. No wonder the idea failed. But for one year, they had the NSL cards.
They have the Northern Spirit.
I can't remember, but what a great team. You know, they produced some greats out of there.
You also remember that chewing gum used to be brick-like. You used to break your teeth instead of fix them.
And it used to have that powder around it, and so it almost looked like it was dipped in anthrax before, you know, putting the packet.
Anthrax. Yeah. I remember that was the big rage.
Yes.
That was like the old bubbling.
I believe, you know, anthrax. I remember. We'll introduce this week's crap fantail of the week. Oh, now, Captain, I have someone special for you this week.
It's been a special show.
Oh, it has, and you know, although I don't think it would be too soon if we did include Todd Carney as a or Todd Carney, Todd Carney's crank as this week's crap fans helmet. No, this one that we go back a long way, probably before Todd Carney was born. You'd probably
you got me interested.
So we're talking sort of, well, and this might be a big hint. This is a hint for sure. So it's not one person, but two people.
I'm liking the double.
And so I'm talking sort of Australian television, late 80s, early 90s.
Okay, so I was originally thinking Hale and Pace, which would have been excellent.
No, Australian. So, okay, we'll narrow it down. It's Australian. So, Australian TV, late 80s, early 90s. Like, yep. I'm thinking they start off on a show called Wombat.
Oh, Wombat, you wasted that. Wombat.
And then...
You had me at Wombat.
And then they had a mass graduation, and this probably might be the kicker for you. They had a mass graduation from Wombat to Neighbours.
Oh, come off it. Nah, I know a lot of crap, but I can't picture anyone going from Wombat to Neighbours.
And two people, not just one person either.
Please.
I'm talking Gail and Gillian Blakeney.
That round of applause is certainly warranted.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what their characters on Neighbours was called, but they played twins on one of them.
Weren't they both married to Paul Robinson?
Yes, at one stage. So you went from one to the other.
I wonder if they ever had some. No, I'd better not think about it. A bit of
no, I'm not even going to go that way on myself. But no, so there you go.
That's... Paul Robinson's still on Neighbours.
Oh, you know, it's Stephen Dennis, you know, he's a stalwart of Australian television, and by that I mean Neighbours. And well, did you actually see Doug and Pam Willis? Or sorry, just Doug Willis made another appearance. So
Pam turned up too.
Did she?
I wouldn't have known about Pam.
No. What an alumni that is, you know.
Wombat.
Yeah, and so many characters. I mean, you know, we were talking about Agro last week, and you know, Agro did make an appearance on Wombat for a little while.
My golden chalice to you for that. That's
and you know, with just I mean, maybe for a crap fantale for the listener at home is to think about who's Agro's host was with Wombat, and is pre Anne Marie Bigger, so.
Isn't that Bob fella? Bob LaCastra or something?
Yes, he was there's Shannon, oh, fuck it, Captain, you've just made another, a relationship between Wombat and Neighbours.
Oh, wow.
He actually appeared on Neighbours as well, so there you go.
You know, oh, wow, you know he's a Gold Coast councillor now?
Wow. Mm. I'm thinking if there's any city council that would take him, it'd probably be Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Well, he'd have to have his fingers in the pie of the Commonwealth Games, wouldn't he? He'd have to be working on something towards that. Yeah.
I hope so. I hope he's designing the opening ceremony. Maybe I won't watch.
Maybe a Wombat reunion. But
yeah. We'll go with another. I'll whinge another time about it. Opening ceremonies of any sporting event is the biggest waste of time and money ever.
Yeah, money is the big one, isn't it? I mean, Sydney, I think, were the first.
Just have one of those big crepe paper things they wheel out at the AFL. The whole team's run through it once.
Well,
the Olympics, you'll need a really big one.
Funny you should bring that up, because they don't even barely run through them anymore. I remember they used to run through them, and not that long ago, used to run through them and destroy them. But they don't even really do that anymore.
The nanny state. They don't want to wreck it.
Oh, no.
They want to teach kids bad things for wrecking crepe paper banners.
God, no. I hope there's a few people that get that one. But, so that's Crap Fantale of the Week. And look, I do invite any feedback if you can name that that original host with Agro. But speaking of feedback...
I've actually worked out. We keep mentioning the email, but actually don't tell people what it is.
Oh.
But that's all right. No one's listening to this anyway. But if you are, it's gurgler.chat@gmail.com.
So, yeah, drop us a line about anything. I mean, but the listener has. We do have some feedback, Captain, and what have we got?
Well, it's only one.
Right.
And it says something
that sounds about right.
Are you... and it says something about, are you happy with your penis size? So I presume that's not really anything to do with our website.
No. Is that from Todd Kahn?
It's come from thegargler.com.
Oh, dear me. What a wonderful sponsor. You know, what a week, what a show. What have we got to look forward to in the coming week there, Captain?
Well, we got the British Grand Prix, and then we're getting to the business end of the World Cup again. Now there's some NRL. We're hoping that, without mentioning a certain rugby league team, that they start winning. Apart from that, just trying to recover from washing all of that. So, for sure.
And
maybe seeing which NRL star can top Carney, because, I mean, it'd be nice at the end of the year at the Dally M Awards where they have the best off-field incident of the year.
Oh.
Take some topping.
Well, yeah, exactly right. No, I think from the last few years, I mean, it was a great pointless pose, and I'm hoping that we do get some more on the email. I think that's about it, really.
Yeah, okay. No, I think we've wasted enough of people's time.
Yeah, well, Captain Wishbridge, thank you for your time this week.
Thanks for inviting me.
It's been quite an entertaining week, and I just hope we can have this much fodder again for next week.
Yeah, sometimes the weeks just write themselves.
No, they certainly do, and we'll bless this week. So from here in the studio, I'd just like to say see you all next week. Come on.